Marriage in the days of Jesus was what we might refer to as a big deal. In fact, marriages oftentimes took years and years and years to come to pass. The marriages in Jesus' day consisted of three different phases. First, there was the arrangement. Most of the time, parents were the ones who chose the spouse for their child. And oftentimes, that choosing began very early in a child's life. Secondly, there was a period known as the betrothal. At that time, the bride and groom came together and they exchanged their marital vows, and the groom would pay a dowry to the bride's parents. But at the end of that ceremony, the wife did not go home with the husband. She remained with her parents. For you see, there was a third phase of the marriage celebration, and that was the marriage feast. And folks, that was a big deal in the days of Jesus. Even bigger than many of our receptions that are thrown today. And the bridegroom would go and he would finally meet the bride at her house and then would take her back to his house, and a huge celebration would transpire. After that, the bride would go home with her husband. Our parable for study tonight involves the third phase of the marriage celebration. The title of the parable is The Parable of the Wise and Foolish Virgins. Matthew is the only gospel writer that has anything to say about this parable. It is found in Matthew the 25th chapter, verses 1 through 13. I have divided this particular parable into five different sections, and that will be our study for tonight. Point number one, the description of the virgins, verses 1 through 4. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise, and five of them were foolish. And the foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. My friends, the background for this particular parable is found in the entire chapter of Matthew 24. In that chapter, our Lord talks about two things. In fact, he contrasts two things. Number one, the fall of Jerusalem. Number two, the second coming of the Son of God. Jesus says that the fall of Jerusalem is going to come, and it is going to come with signs. In other words, if you watch for the signs, you can be ready when it transpires. But the second coming of Jesus will come with no signs whatsoever. Therefore, the admonition is to watch, to be ready, to be prepared. Matthew 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44 echoes the same sentiment, for he says, be ye also ready, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. This parable that Jesus speaks is an extension of this particular teaching. And in the parable, what we find are 10 virgins who are waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. They know he's coming. They believe it deep in their hearts. And they take their lamps and they go out, the text says, in order to meet him. But their description is quite different, isn't it? Five of them were wise, five of them were foolish. Five of them were prepared, five of them were unprepared. Five of them had sufficient oil, five of them had insufficient oil. Let's talk briefly about some applications from this particular section. Number one, we as Christians are sometimes compared to virgins in the biblical text. And the reason for that is because of the purity that you and I are supposed to possess in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Apostle Paul says, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you unto one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin unto Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. We turn to Revelation, the 14th chapter. And there we read about the 144,000. And they are described in an interesting way in Revelation 14, verse 3. These are they which have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These are they that are redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Folks, he's talking about Christians in that particular text. Individuals who are pure, individuals who are holy, individuals who he says are virgins. So you and I are being talked about in this parable of the 10 virgins. Notice, secondly, that these 10 virgins are awaiting the arrival of the bridegroom, are they not? And in like manner, you and I are awaiting the arrival of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Has Jesus promised to return? Absolutely. John 14, verse 3 says, I will come again. We turn to Acts, the first chapter, verses 10 and 11. And there the apostles are standing there upon the Mount of Ascension. And as they looked steadfastly into heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel and said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which ye have seen go into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. My friends, you and I have promise of the bridegroom's coming, don't we? He has promised it himself. His angelic host have announced it. And now you and I are supposed to be waiting for his return. And while we are waiting, we fall into one of two categories, don't we? My friends, either we are wise or either we are foolish. There's not another category, is there? Now here's something that's interesting that you need to mark down if you're taking notes. You need to make a mental note if not. You and I play a very important role in our salvation, folks. That parable teaches this, doesn't it? And you and I need to be doing everything we possibly can in order to have, listen to me, sufficient oil for our lamps. Oil. What kind of oil? Well, how about this? The oil of basic service. Folks, I believe that attending worship service, reading our Bibles daily, prayer, that's just basic service, is it not? But we also need to have the oil of full service. We need to be doing everything in service to our Master that our God has required of us. Not just those basic responsibilities and duties, but everything that God has asked. There is the oil of morality. There is the oil of knowledge. There is the oil of Christian growth. There is the oil of good works. There is the oil of proper relationships one with another. There is the oil of conforming ourselves into the image of Jesus Christ. on and on we could go, could we not? Listing all the different oils that we need to lubricate our lives. And folks, we need to make certain that we possess sufficient amounts of all of them, don't we? Again, we are either wise or we are foolish. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is what? Which category does Victorescu fall into at this moment? So there's the description of these virgins. Secondly, let's note the declaration of the coming of the bridegroom. This is found in verses 5 and 6. While the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was made saying, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." There's 2 points that I want to make from this particular section. Today we live in a world that believes Jesus is coming soon, don't we? You turn on the television and you listen to all the televangelists, and guess what? All you hear, Jesus is coming soon. Kathleen and I, when we were on our vacation over in Hawaii, we're driving around one day. We passed by this church, and at the very top, right where the steeple should be, was a big sign. And the sign said this, "Jesus is coming soon." Man, I was driving around, I said, "Arr!" Kathleen said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I got to get a picture of that." Folks, a humongous sign. Jesus is coming soon. Now, the denominational world believes that there are signs of the second coming of Jesus Christ, don't they? That's what they believe. You see, they have taken passages like Matthew 24 out of context. And what Jesus refers to with regard to the fall of Jerusalem, they have applied to the second coming of our Lord and Savior. My friends, listen to me. There are no signs of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now notice what the text says. While the bridegroom tarried. That passage teaches this, folks. Jesus may not come as soon as we think. You know that? This is a passage that teaches us that the bridegroom could have his coming delayed while the bridegroom tarried. There is not one soul on the face of this earth who knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is coming soon. You want to know what we do know? We know He's coming, don't we? It may be soon. It may be while I'm still preaching tonight. It may be tonight. It may be in the morning. Or it may be 1,000,000 years from now. But guess what I know? I know the bridegroom's coming. And at midnight, a cry was made saying, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." This morning in our Bible class, we studied this passage, 2 Peter 3, verses 9 and 10. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Yes, my friends, the delay may continue, might it not? He's delayed that coming for 2,000 years, and He may delay it for another 2,000 years, but the day of the Lord will come. Those 10 virgins had grown sleepy that night. I kind of know how they feel, don't you? I'm starting to get old. About 9:30 or 10 o'clock, my old eyeballs just want to shut. You know what? Kathleen says, "You just always go to sleep." The minute I sit in my chair, she says, "What you doing, going to sleep?" 9:30, 10 o'clock comes, and I'm out like a light. And that's the way these ladies were. Maybe they've been working all day. Maybe they've been making preparation all day. And they were just about worn out, and they knew he was coming. Maybe there was an expected time, but he did not come, and they slumbered and slept. And then all of a sudden, a cry went forth, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," wide awake, weren't they? Wide awake. And the Bible talks about now the difficulties of the five foolish virgins, verses 7 through 10. And all of these arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." And the wise answered and said, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. Go ye rather unto them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready entered in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. Folks, there are at least six difficulties that these five foolish virgins experience in these verses. Number one, their lamps have gone out. That's a problem, isn't it? What time is it? It's midnight. Folks, they didn't have street lights back then. They had their lamps, did they not? And they left with their lamps. And when they left with their lamps were burning. But now all the oil had burned out, and their lamps had gone out. Problem number two, we don't have any what? We don't have any oil. Therefore they go to those five wise women, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." What was the answer? "Not so." Uh-oh. Third problem, isn't it? The five wise are not going to give to the five foolish. So what are they going to do? Well, the wise make a suggestion, don't they? "Go ye unto them that sell and buy for yourselves." Oh, no. Here we are at the right spot, at the right time, for the bridegroom to come. And now what do we have to do? We've got to leave this spot and go and buy oil. That's a problem, folks. Problem number five, they leave. And guess what? The bridegroom comes, doesn't he? The bridegroom comes while they're away. And problem number six, and the door was shut. Folks, six problems experienced by five foolish virgins, all because they were not sufficiently prepared. I want you to underline sufficiently. For you see, these virgins, they left their house, did they not, with lamps. They left with lamps that had oil. And they left going out to meet the bridegroom. But they did not have sufficient oil. Who's Jesus talking about, folks? I almost preached this lesson this morning. You know that? I almost did. Only reason I didn't is because when you change things like that, and you preach at somebody, people get mad.
"Well, you're supposed to do that series on Sunday night. You're not supposed to do that on Sunday morning."
That's what people tell me. Just get aggravated. And the reason they get aggravated is because they get hit by a sermon, don't they? But folks, we're talking about nominal Christians, aren't we? We're talking about lukewarm Christians. They did a little, didn't they? But here's the deal. They had not done enough. They had not prepared sufficiently. The question we have to ask ourselves is this: Have you prepared yourself sufficiently for the second coming of Jesus Christ? My friends, when our Lord comes again, there will be no time to increase your knowledge. There will be no more time to overcome sin. There will be no time for you to develop close relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You will not have time to serve and labor as you should in the local congregation. There will not be time to grow in Christ Jesus. You won't have time to add the Christian graces to your life. You will not have any time whatsoever to read your Bibles and to pray as ye ought. You won't have time to be involved in any more good works. Folks, when the Lord comes, it'll be too late for all of that. How sad it would be, wouldn't it, for our Lord to come, and we know in our minds, wow, I should have studied more. I knew I should have prayed more fervently. I knew I should have been a more active member in the body of Christ. And guess what? It is too late. All of their difficulties came because they were not sufficiently prepared. In this section, there are a few words that are oftentimes completely overlooked. They're not mentioned very much because we have a tendency to focus upon who? The foolish, do we not? Listen to the words. And they that were prepared went in with him into the marriage. Folks, guess what? We don't have to miss it, do we? We can be individuals who will be included in the number. We can enter into the marriage feast. The second coming of our Lord is not just a negative thing. There are a positive thing about it as well. And that positive thing is those who are prepared, those who are ready, those individuals who have sufficiently involved themselves in what needs to be done will go in with the king, the bridegroom, into the wedding feast. You know what I love? Wedding receptions. I don't know. Well, I do know why. It's not the crowds. I don't like them crowds too much. But there's two things I love. Good punch. Now, I notice I said good punch. I've been to places where there's some awful punch. And secondly, good cake. You know what? You know what makes a cake? The icing, doesn't it? Ooh-wee. You get a moist cake with that old buttercream icing. Man, you can't beat that. Give me two pieces. I'm glad they got groom's cakes now, aren't you? Because you got to get one of each. Folks, it is a joy to go to a wedding celebration, is it not? To watch those individuals celebrating their marriage one with another. There is no greater experience. Folks, can you imagine the wedding feast of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what it is going to be like for us to be able to enter therein? Wow. But not all will make it, will they? Those five foolish virgins, they were gone, weren't they? Had to go shopping for oil. Wouldn't you like to know where they went? I wonder if they found a 7-Eleven somewhere. Where in the world do you go at midnight back then for oil? Isn't that what they told them? Go ye and buy for yourselves. Well, they did come back. And we read of their denunciation in verses 10 and 11. And the other virgins also came and said, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know ye not. These five foolish virgins think they know the bridegroom, don't they? Isn't that what it appears like? They're at the right door, aren't they? They're at the very door that those five wise women went into. And they think they know the Lord. And they cry out to Him, don't they? Lord, Lord, open unto us. We've made it back. Let us in. They think they know the Lord. But guess what? The Lord does not know them. Verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Folks, that's scary. I can think I know the Lord, and yet He does not know me. A casual acquaintance with Jesus Christ does not constitute a true relationship. A nominal practice of Christianity, that is, in name only, does not guarantee you that the Lord knows you. A lukewarm practice of Christianity does not mean that the Lord is going to open the door of the wedding feast to you. Folks, our Lord said what? I know ye not. The Bible says this, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. 2 Timothy 1:9. Folks, you can rest assured. God knows exactly who should be there and who should not be there. And He will not make a mistake. If you belong, He will allow you there. If you do not belong, you will be excluded. We've seen a lot of contrasts, haven't we, between these five foolish and five wise virgins? The greatest contrast is this. The five wise were given entrance. The five foolish were excluded. Now remember, we are either wise or foolish, aren't we? Jesus comes to the very last verse, verse 13. And folks, here we find the doctrine of preparation, don't we? Watch ye therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Folks, there's the point, isn't it? Always be ready. I get concerned about my brothers and sisters sometimes, because what we have a tendency to do is think that there are times in our lives when we can take a break from our Christianity, don't we? Well, I've left Mom and Dad's house and I'm getting my education, and I really need to devote a lot of time to my schoolwork. And so we kind of put Christianity on hold for a while, don't we? A person starts a business. And boy, starting a business and trying to get that business going takes a lot of time, does it not? But one of these days, I'll get this business going, and this business will almost run itself, and at that time, then I can be more faithful to my Lord. Right now, I just don't have the time. Folks, every time that you choose to set your Christianity on the back burner, you are putting your soul in jeopardy. Every time. Watch ye therefore, he says, for ye know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. The very day that I prepare for that test and forsake my God may be the day that the Lord returns. The very day that I choose to invest all of my energies in my business rather than in my Christianity might be the very day that my Lord returns. The very moment that I say, you know, I think I'll engage in this sin may be the very hour when the Lord of God, the Lord of heaven, returns once again. Write down two passages of Scripture, Luke 21, 34 through 36, and Romans 13, 11 through 14. And tonight, you go home and you read those texts. Let's look at one of them just briefly, the Luke 21 passage. Jesus says, take heed unto yourselves, lest your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. It shall be a snare unto all them that dwell upon the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye be counted worthy to escape all of these things and to stand before the Son of Man. Folks, Jesus is very plain, isn't he? Don't let your heart get caught up into something that it doesn't need to get caught up in, and neglect to prepare for the coming of the Son of Man. I love that last verse, don't you? Listen to what he says again. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, listen, that ye be counted worthy to escape all these things. Wow. And to stand before the Son of Man. Counted worthy. You were ready. You are prepared. You are watching. Come on. Come into the marriage feast. And folks, when you do, behind you, the door is what? The door is shut. Wow. There is reward for those who prepare. Our Lord is coming again, isn't he? There's no doubt about that. I don't know when. I'm not going to lie to you and try to tell you exactly when, because I don't know. I just know he's coming. And I do know that the Bible says this: you better be ready, folks. Now, here's a lesson that I skipped over, but I want to talk to you about it very briefly. When the Lord comes again, you cannot rely on someone else in order to be saved. Those five foolish tried to get oil from those five wise women, didn't they? Give us also of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Not so, they said. I don't care how faithful my grandma and grandpa were, my mom and daddy were, their faithfulness in Christ does not pass on to me. It doesn't do that. I don't care how faithful your spouse is, whether it be your wife or your husband. Guess what? They cannot transfer their Christianity to you. It's an impossibility. The Bible says every one of us shall bear his own burden. Galatians 6, verse 5. So folks, the question is this: are you wise or are you foolish? Are you making the preparation? Not just some preparation, the necessary preparation for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Maybe tonight you need to repent of not having sufficient oil for your lamp. Maybe tonight you need to make yourself a part of the wedding party. And you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins, confess His precious name, and be baptized into Christ, removing all of those sins, becoming a part of the church, that chaste virgin that will one day be presented unto Christ. Do you need to respond to the Lord's invitation? Won't you come as we stand and sing?